L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore.
Perfect music to start the program today. Hi, Larry Mueller here talking about love today on the program. How you feel most appreciated in a relationship can vary a lot from one person to the next. And on the show today, we'll be taking a look at the language of love in all of your relationships with your partner, with your friends, with your children. In the studio with me, Shyla Mergame. She is a distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at UW-Madison. It's always great to have her with us. And certainly as we talk about improving your relationships with someone you love, you'll be able to join in the conversation for sure. But somebody I love to see all the time is Jennifer Dargan from Wisconsin Public Radio. And she's here because this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. So your support is so essential. It's a great piece of funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support, it's the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So this drive is your time to take some action. And you can make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Jennifer Dargan, welcome. How are we doing on this drive, by the way?
Hi, Larry. I love to be here during the member drive. And I wanted to tell you that last hour we've heard from 35 donors. So cool. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. And let's do it again. This hour we have a goal of getting 35 gifts. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
So let's make this goal.
Let's do it.
It happens one gift at a time, though. It's your time to start right now at WPR.org. You can make your contribution there. Or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, you might not know that a large slice of funding for WPR programs, the biggest slice, in fact, comes from listeners. So while all of our other funding sources, the state, federal government, businesses, they're all very important, of course, your contribution makes a huge difference, too. And WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jennifer, I'm sure you've asked yourself from one time or another, how do I know when it's time to donate to WPR? Well, I tell you what, as you're listening to Jennifer and I talk, this is the time right now during our winter membership drive. So whether you tune in for your favorite program, just maybe one program, or maybe you check in right throughout the day, you've made a habit of listening.
Now, how about make a habit of giving? Listener support is the largest source of funding for our programs. And when you give, you make everything you hear and that you rely on possible. It's really easy to donate. Get started right now with your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount and you'll have five chances to win $500 for your next travel experience. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Travel Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
All you do is go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. So whether you contribute $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we know you value your time. We value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. You tell us your name and your contact information, how much you want to give, how you like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a minute or two right now to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Let me repeat that. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio.
And we have an added bonus for supporting the programs you love. You'll have five chances to win a Sonos One Smart Speaker. That's cool. No contribution is necessary. You and I can't win, though.
We cannot. We're employees.
No. Even though we contribute, we are taken out of the queue here.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's right. Just go to WPR.org/drawing for details. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, guess what? You're automatically entered.
I think that's so cool that we started doing that, because people were before saying, I want to get in on that drawing, but I'm a sustainer. Hey, if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now, and then you'll automatically be entered in all these drawings. It's easy to set up monthly donations. You can do it from your bank account or your credit card, and it all happens at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for everything that you love on WPR.
Do it right now while you're listening to our conversation about love as we visit with our guest, Shyla Merghain, distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedics at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Shyla, great to have you here.
Oh, it's just wonderful to be back. Thanks, Larry.
Well, you have said that love seems to help make you healthier. Is that right?
It does. As human beings, we're hardwired for loving connection. And yet we are finding an increasing epidemic of loneliness. And I think more people are spending time behind screens than connecting in person. And I want to talk today about how can we foster the language of love in all our relationships with some research and some simple practices.
One of the things that I found kind of interesting about what you've written is that you should love yourself. It's important to love yourself first.
I always say we start inward and then work outward. And often we can be our worst critic. We can be really harsh on ourselves. We often talk to ourselves in a way we would never talk to anyone else. And so having a little grace, a little kindness and self-compassion can be a first start of just fostering a little bit of self-care. And I think when we do that, when we spend a little time nurturing ourselves, speaking kindly, taking care of ourselves, and that ripples out into all our relationships. If we start becoming healthier with more love, we just fill up our own tank and have more love to give to others.
But why in the heck are we so hard on ourselves?
I think we can be our worst critic, you know? And I also think just society really fosters focusing on what's wrong. And I find almost everyone has at their core a sense of not feeling good enough. And so when you slip up or mess up or have a failure, we can really be harsh. And instead, I think when we foster self-love, we focus on the being of our human being, that who we are is good enough, and we have these gifts we want to give to the world. And I think, again, it allows us to kind of come home to ourselves, connect back with our core. And in that place, then, we have so much more to give to others in our community and our families and our workplaces and world.
You know, I was recalling an article that I read about a young woman had written about her father, who was always in a bad mood and not very communicative. And she said, and just one day he was nice to he was nice to her. He was nice to her mother, his wife. And it sort of slowly, he made a change almost overnight and never slipped back. You wonder what, and she wondered, and she never even asked him, but she often wondered what caused that change. So I guess it's possible.
Absolutely. That kind of change is possible, and just a little bit of work can create a different trajectory in our lives.
So, but it really is important to build healthier relationships.
Absolutely. And it's something we don't necessarily train in. I think of the famous work by Dr. John Gottman, who's a couples researcher who has a love lab in University of Washington in Seattle. And he says that he can predict within about 10 to 15 minutes of interaction between couples, he can predict within 94% accuracy whether the couples will be broken up together or unhappy and together or happy and together several years later. And so his research really points to not just romantic relationships, but all our relationships. And the one determining factor he finds is that couples that are happy and stay together do something where they turn towards each other. They build connection. They foster intimacy with some simple strategies. And those that end up being unhappy or turning away from each other, they're kind of rejecting those bids for connection. They can be harsh in their criticism with one another, and that can be really destructive. So there are things we can intentionally do to build not only connection with ourselves, but a strong foundation for all our relationships. Because when two people come together in that healthy way, really creativity, possibility, innovation, and overall well-being is really fostered.
You know, there are times, and I could just talk about my role as a broadcaster here. I will get 25 notes from people that are affirming notes and happy with what I'm doing. And then I'll get the one that says, I don't know, maybe you said which instead of that, or I instead of me on the show. And that's the one that affects me the most sometimes.
That kind of criticism or the one thing that goes wrong can be kind of sticky. We ruminate over it. And, you know, our brains are wired to focus on the negatives. So probably people have all had that experience. You have a job evaluation or maybe a school report card, and you 90% of the time you do great, but the one thing that goes wrong, that's what lingers. That's what you remember.
Yeah.
However, we can rewire that in not only in our own minds, but in our relationships to focus more on the positive and really engage in positive action to build that kind of connection we want.
So how do we do it in relationship with others? Because there are times when I would prefer to say something that's negative in a way, or I think, I don't know, it's constructive, I think, but it may sound negative. How do we do that?
I think a simple strategy is to give your partner the benefit of the doubt, or the person that you're upset with the benefit of the doubt. Again, with that negativity bias, our brain tends to go to the worst case scenario. We start to reflect on all the times that person was that way or faults that person has, and that creates distance, and it's a way of turning away from that person. So instead, to be generous in the attribution you're making about that person's behavior. And I always say seek to understand versus judge. And so get curious. You might ask some questions about what was going on for them. Or if you are expressing your feelings, use those I messages. Say, mm-hmm. I feel this. Talk about your own experience versus when you tend to go to you always, you never, you don't. That again creates that distance. And oftentimes when we seek to understand and we're generous in just trying to put ourselves in that person's shoes, often their motives weren't necessarily that harmful. You know, maybe they mm-hmm. made a mistake or they forgot something. But again, it creates a way of talking through it to a point of resolution.
Yeah. You write about, five positive interactions to one negative interaction.
That is some of the great research that shows healthy relationships. All our relationships have a 5-to-1 tipping point, that there are 5 positive interactions to every negative. And certainly when relationships start to spiral downward, the negatives can start to be more prevalent. You know, we can start to look at those things that aren't going well. We can start to nitpick. We can start to nag or bug or get defensive. And all those things can start to erode the foundation of a relationship if we're not overriding them with more positive. And it's a practice. It's a practice to each day choose to engage in something positive in the interaction with others, whether it's your romantic relationship with your kids or even in the workplace.
Well, I have some great interactions in the workplace, especially with Jennifer Dargan. She's one of the greats when it comes to interactions. She often comes on the show during our fall membership drive to be with me, and I always appreciate it a lot. And she's here to remind you that about our goal. It's to keep bringing you the topics like building the language of love. Your support makes that happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for our WPR program. So I hope you'll give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jennifer, are we moving the needle here at all?
We are. Five people have already donated this hour for this great topic. We have about 40 minutes left in the hour, and we're looking for 30 more people to join in. So thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give your gift right now, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And again, thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, boy, I'm going to repeat what Jennifer just said. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might not have a life coach or personal trainer or a mental health expert on your speed dial, and that's really okay, because when you listen to the Ideas Network, you get all sorts of great advice from the experts that we have on this show and others. And what does that cost you? Well, you can decide. The Ideas Network is your source for helpful information. You can decide how much you'd like to support it right now. Doesn't matter the amount that you give, just that you do give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's really easy to support WPR, and really the easiest way is to become a sustainer. You'll make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account, or a lot of people take it from their credit card or their debit card, I believe.
Yep, and some people give $10 a month or maybe $15 or $20. You just pick the amount that works for you and your budget. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then you can sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs that you value.
This drive, we're offering a special thank you gift. The all-new WPR Knit Hat. We asked a few people, where will you wear your new hat?
Oh, I'll wear it everywhere. I'll wear it outside when it's cold. I'll wear it inside when I want to feel cool. I love it.
I would wear it on the bike path to protect my poor ears.
When I go run errands on the weekends, just about everywhere.
Ask for your WPR Knit Hat when you give $20 a month or more right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the programs you rely on, and that's why your support during our winter member drive is so, so, so important. And, you know, maybe your gift's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And when 30 more people join in the next 40 minutes or so, we will meet our goal. And these hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have all the funding that we need for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, we give you the choice. You get to choose how much you give, a contribution. Any amount makes a difference. There are some suggested amounts that you could give, $10 a month, $120 a month, $100 a month, the same amount you pay for Netflix maybe, or for cable, or coffee.
Mm-hmm. Which, like WPR, is probably something that you look forward to every day. You can give now. You can pick your amount. Your gift really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are listener supported, and that's why your gift right now is so important. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio, and you can ask for the new WPR Knit Hat. This cap is both stylish and cozy, and it's yours when you give $20 a month or more. WPR.org is a place to do it, or 888-202-2552.
You know, I'm not always enamored with the gifts, but I love this hat.
It's pretty
cool.
The
hat is really, really cool. And I'm going to get me one of them because I'm going to make my contribution. How about you? Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, do it right now. We are talking about the language of love, finding love in all of your relationships. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Shyla Morgain. distinguished psychologist at UW-Madison. It's always a pleasure to have her come by. We get in some great conversations. And I'm certainly inviting you to join in, too. What do you do to maintain your relationships? Do you need help getting a relationship back on track, maybe? What questions do you have about showing someone you care? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, let's talk about the term love language.
It's a great term, isn't it, Larry?
And I like the sound of it.
Love Languages was derived from a book named that by author Gary Chapman. And for me personally, as well as the clients that I work with, this is a game changer in terms of really fostering healthy relationships. What he writes about is that each of us has a unique way that allows us to feel loved and appreciated. And he breaks it down into five different types. And we have usually one primary type, and listeners can even find out what their primary type is. Gary Chapman has a free online quiz on love languages that I think some of your staff took before this segment.
I took it.
I'll be wanting to hear which one is your primary one, Larry. And he finds that we often make the mistake of speaking our language when we're interacting with others versus learning what other people's primary type or language is. And so you're interacting, showing your love in a way that actually works well for you, not the other person. And it can kind of fall flat. So I want to talk about the five different love languages, and I'd love to hear which one is your primary one, Larry.
And before I even give that out, I want to mention that we have that up on go to WPR.org/Larry, and we have a link to that quiz. And that was kind of fun to take, actually. I enjoyed taking it. So WPR.org/Larry. So there's a link to that love test, so to speak, and also one of Shyla's articles that really talk a bit more about it. So that was kind of fun. The scoring on this, I don't know what's the highest you can get, but I had 8 for acts of service, and then I had 2 6s and 2 5s. So I had a 6 for physical touch and quality time and 5s for words of affirmation and receiving gifts.
Oh, that's great to know, Larry. Yeah, and so, those closest to you, that's important for them to know so they can really express their appreciation in a way that you best receive and that best resonates for you.
Yeah, I think, the words of affirmation, as I was looking at it, I thought to myself, well, I already get a lot of words of affirmation. So I actually said, I've got so much of that, I will click this other point.
Okay, good. So you're here.
That was my train of thought while I was doing it. Maybe that was the wrong way to think about it.
Well, it just speaks to your multidimensional, Larry. Absolutely. So you bring up the first one. It's verbal appreciation, mm-hmm. that or words of affirmation, and that's my primary one. And for those people, they want to hear regularly that they matter to you, that you're sharing with them what makes them special, encouragement, praise, offer kind wishes for their well-being. And especially if somebody's this way, if something goes well, you want to share in the joy with them. You want to verbally express you're proud of them or hear more or what you see in them. And often if they're not receiving those verbal words, they can feel very disconnected and underappreciated. So a little bit goes a long way with that love language with that type of person.
So if you say, oh, I love you, which I do quite often to my daughter, as an example, but are there other ways that you show that verbally or with words of affirmation?
It might be thank you notes. It might be a text of encouragement. Your daughter's having a bad day, it could be even just bragging about her in front of somebody else. Those kinds of verbal phrasing really lights that person up and helps them feel cared for.
When I do that, she always seems embarrassed. I bring it
up. And it'd be fun for her to take the quiz because I wonder if her love language is different. You know, for example, the second type is quality time, that person really feels connected when you're giving your undivided attention. You're doing something together. You're participating in shared activities that involved similar interests and really minimizing distractions. So that person doesn't necessarily need verbal. They just need your presence, really carving out time in the schedule where you can just do something together.
Yeah, we do that. You know, she's a teenager, so, you know, lots of raging hormones or whatever going on. So there are the ups and downs, and you kind of learn to deal with those. And I try to deal with those in a nice, positive way.
Absolutely. I'm probably encouraging her to put her phone down, you know, yeah. during that time so you have her undivided attention.
Yeah. You know, a listener emailed, she's an optimist and her partner is a pessimist. And they pose hypothetical questions about negative scenarios, and she struggles to identify with their thoughts. I'm not sure I understand all that, but maybe you do.
Yeah, that can be challenging. And optimism is something that you cultivate. And certainly, I think we live in a world where there's a lot of pessimism. It's easier to see the what can go wrong or the negative aspect of a situation. So I would encourage her to hold on to her optimism. You know, you can validate your partner's pessimism, but you don't want to join in because I think that might decrease that sense of well-being. And we do find that well-being is really cultivated when we have a positive outlook, when we see the silver lining, when we have that sense of hope. So maybe over time, she might rub off on that partner to help him see things from a different point of view.
So when you're an optimist and your spouse is a pessimist, then talk a little bit more about how you sort of deal with that when the pessimist is always kind of looking at things on the negative side.
Yeah, and, you know, that sometimes can be they can start to be a bit contagious if somebody, and not just romantic relationships, but even in the workplace or in friendships.
Sure.
And so it can be, one, validating that person's experience because that's their perspective. But then maybe changing the topic to something that might be more uplifting, whether it's planning for an upcoming vacation, which tends to be one of our happiest times, or doing an activity together where you're building new memories, or just doing something that where you can laugh together. So again, you can cultivate some of those positive emotions to get that person out of that rut.
You know, I was thinking about vacations because I've got one coming in July, and I'm really actually another short one in May. But I think half of the fun of a vacation is all of thinking about what you're going to do when you get there. So you've got all those months to kind of feel good.
Absolutely. The studies show those can be some of our happiest moments in a year when we're just planning for the vacation, not necessarily the vacation itself, but planning for it.
So let's talk more about this whole language of love. We've got this acts of service. When I was viewing it as, I love to, I really enjoy giving gifts, and either it's time or it's an actual gift to people.
Yeah, Larry. So those are two. One is meaningful gifts. When we're actually picking out a present for somebody, it isn't necessarily about materialism, but rather the thought behind the gift that counts. So that, you know, really involves listening to the other person, what their preferences, what they would enjoy, and then picking gifts that say, hey, I care about you, and I hope this gift enriches your life. The next one you talk about, acts of service, which you are most high on, and my father is actually most high on this. And after I learned about love languages, this really changed my relationship with my father. So somebody who has that as their style really enjoys helping. Like they will take the trash out for you. My father always checks the oil in my car. They find out some of your things on your to-do lists or household tasks that might feel inconvenient. And They'll actually go above and beyond to do those things to help lighten your load. And I know for myself, I'm more, my language is verbal appreciation, and that is not a skill set of my father. And I learned, oh, my father is showing his care for me by changing my oil, by taking out my trash. And once I learned that, I also saw that for him, when I was saying verbal appreciation to him, that wasn't resonating. Instead, he, and just recently I was on vacation with my parents, and he wanted me to come out and help hang some lights. And I did it, not that I necessarily wanted to, but I thought this is a way he's going to feel loved by me just helping him screw in the bolts and hang the lights and measure them out. And it was a great connection. So that's a wonderful one that it sounds like a strength of yours as well.
Well, I like that. And I like how you did that, because that for him, that would show me if you were coming over and help me with my lights, I would say, oh, that is really a nice thing to a loving thing to do.
Yes, and I really think it speaks to finding out what the other person's love language is. Have your friends and family take the quiz and then actually take action with that love language, you know, turning towards that person, doing something small in that person's love language. It's really going to get you to that 5-to-1 tipping point of 5 to 5 positive interactions to every negative. And that person is going to feel so cared for, and they're going to light up really in that connection.
So somebody might be thinking, I don't know about taking a quiz. Could you, it's actually pretty easy, maybe sort of explain, I'm sure you don't want to give the specifics, but as well as you can, explain what a person's going to discover when they take that quiz, or what they're going to find and have to do.
Yeah, the quiz is really reflecting the 5 love languages, and we've talked about 4. The last one is physical affection or physical touch, where you really show you care through a hug, a back rub, holding hands, kisses, or a simple gesture of touch that indicates you care about the person. So again, the 5 love languages are those kind of verbal appreciation, quality time together, meaningful gifts, acts of service, and physical affection. So as I list those, I'd like listeners to think about their interactions in the last month or so, or even on Valentine's Day, which was just this last Friday, and think about, how did you express that you care about the people you're closest with? Did you buy them gifts? Did you take their trash out? Or maybe you shoveled your neighbor's snow this morning as a way to show that you care. Maybe you booked time with a friend over a weekend so you could do something fun together. Or maybe you sent that thank you note or that love note on Valentine's Day. Or maybe you just simply like to reach out and give people hugs as a way of showing that connection. So if you think about your common interactions in the last couple weeks, what you typically do, that shows often your love language. And then you can think about the interactions and what really helps you feel cared for. What are the things that people do? Do they text you encouragement? Did they buy you flowers on Valentine's Day? Did they change a light bulb? You know, and think about when you feel most supported. And again, that'll show that love language.
Shyla Morgain, our guest today. Great to have her with us. Distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at UW-Madison. It's great to have her with us, and always great to have Jennifer Dargan come by during our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. The largest source of funding for our programs is from listeners just like you, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. Jennifer, are we making any progress? I can't see my screen anymore.
We're doing well. We're doing well. We have 20 minutes left in the hour, and we're looking for 27 more people to join in. We can do this. You know, I just took that quiz while you were. I also got acts of service, and I was thinking about Wisconsin Public Radio staff and wondering if many of us might get that. That's the love language that we're showing to listeners in creating this content. And we wondered if maybe you could show us an appreciation with a meaningful gift.
yeah, absolutely. That would be an act of service, wouldn't it? It would to me.
When you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show, conversations like this, which is so interesting, and all the other WPR programs that you count on and enjoy every day. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lots of people ask me or say, gosh, you must be an expert in a whole bunch of things. And I'm not really an expert in a whole lot of things, but I learn a lot through this program, talking to people like Shyla. Here's a topic that maybe we don't talk about very much, but when we hear it, I think, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that in maybe in a while. Or maybe I'm going through a situation in my life where I need to pay a little closer attention to what she's talking with us about. And so I think the kinds of programs that we have during this 11 to 12:30 time slot, in fact, during the whole day, we provide a service. We're giving an act of service. And hope you'll help us out now. We're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and you make all the hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and then make your gift.
And once in a while, and we're hoping this might be the situation, once in a while you actually get more than you pay for. And WPR is one place where that could become true. When you become a member, you can consider a gift of, say, $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's really hard to buy much for $2 these days. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. And that works out to $60 a month or so. You can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support during this winter member drive makes all the programs you rely on possible. And your gift could be $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And if you've already made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go even further by telling your friends and family what you did.
Yeah, you could use social media. You could call them up. You could mention it when you see them. Just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR will help maybe plant that idea in their minds. So make your gift at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 and then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
It does feel good.
It
does. And when 23 more people support WPR programs in the next 15 minutes, we will meet our goal. First day of our member drive, let's do this. WPR is listener powered, and that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Thanks so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, please do it now. And if you're a sustainer, I want to say a big thanks to you. Those of you making those ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered into all of our prizes and things of that sort. If you're not a sustainer, sign up now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and become one.
Larry, we had an old script from a past pledge drive before, and we talked about a drawing, which isn't going on right now. But let me tell you about the drawing that is going on right now. That might be the final push that gets you to make a donation right now. We've not done this before that I remember. Your donation today enters you in a drawing for a travel agency gift card. And wow, what a good time to be thinking about traveling. Five lucky winners will enjoy $500 to spend on their next travel adventure. And if you're a sustainer, you're already entered. It's done. If you're not a sustainer, you can sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now is so important. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Talking about finding love in all of your relationships today, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Shyla Mergain, distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at UW-Madison, in the School of Medicine and Public Health, as a matter of fact. It's great to have her. She comes by every couple of months and we talk about one thing or another. And today she said, let's talk about finding love in relationships. And I said, sounds like a plan to me. So here we are talking about that. We've talked about a lot of the sort of the positive things, but there are some destructive kinds of things that can occur too. And I know you wanted to talk about, you know, sort of realizing and understanding what those things might be.
So if we look at the research again by Dr. John Gottman in his Love Lab, it's pretty fascinating. He found that couples that stay married turn towards each other. They have these bids for connection 85% of the time. The couples that divorced average only 33% or less. And then he looked at a dinner table conversation with happy couples, and he found as many as 100 times they would turn towards each other in these ways of connecting in a 10-minute period, while those who are struggling only engaged with each other 65 times. And so what we find is that when relationships start to get unhealthy, people are turning away from one another, and in particular,
physically,
and also in communication. And there are four relationship conversation patterns that are ultimately really toxic to relationships. The first one is contempt. It's the number one reason why couples celebrate and relationships or friendships really go south. The second is criticism, that when people are starting to criticize or in partnerships people are criticizing, research shows they miss 50% of positive things that their partner is doing, and they often perceive negativity when it's not there.
So you're kind of looking for it, almost.
Defensiveness is the next one, that if you become overly defensive, you're really primed to defend your point of view, your perspective, that again can create distance. And last one is stonewalling. That can be one, a really damaging part of the relationship where you shut down and you stop talking and you give somebody the silent treatment and in a sense erect a wall.
Ghosting is kind of almost, huh?
Yeah, very much, which has become, I think, almost an epidemic in you know, online dating, for example. So there are things you can do to rewrite that tendency. The biggest thing to do is to just take what I call an adult timeout, that when we get triggered in relationships, when we get flooded by emotions, we tend not to think very clearly and we get into attack or defend mode and often get into those four relationship communication styles that Dr. Gottman calls the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So if we can just take that adult timeout and cool down, in particular, just do some slower, lower breathing. What happens when we're breathing diaphragmatically in that slower, lower way for a few minutes is we won't have that cascade of chemicals like cortisol in our system. We'll start to think clearly. We'll get back to that place of neutrality. We'll start to be able to problem solve differently. We'll no longer see that person that we're in an argument with as our enemy. Instead, we'll see them as just another human being doing the best we can. And so I really encourage couples to do this, or just in all our relationships. Dr. Gottman does this in his lab. He, when couples are getting heated in a discussion, he'll pause the discussion, hook them up to some biofeedback, help them re-regulate with slower, lower breathing until they're calm, and then have them re-engage in the discussion. And he finds that not just romantically in all our relationships, we tend to be able to work through to a solution when we do that.
I can think back to a phone conversation I had with somebody that was kind of a negative. It was turning into a very negative conversation. And I said, you know what, that's probably not the time to be talking about this. Let's pick it up and talk another time a little bit later on. I ended the call pleasantly, but...
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. You know, there's this...
Did I do the right thing is what I guess I'm asking.
Absolutely. You know, when it starts to get heated and people are becoming more defensive or criticism is flying, it's often best to press the pause button. There's that motto, don't go to bed angry. I actually think sometimes it's really helpful to go just go to sleep, and in the morning you'll be able to think through it clearly. And the second thing is just when somebody is apologizing, to accept the apology. Often we want to continue to argue or defend ourselves or really make sure that that person understands our point of view. But it can be more destructive if we reject the apology when it's offered versus when the initial injury happened.
So how do you accept that apology? Do you say...
I might just say, you know, thank you. I appreciate, you know, you offering that.
And I accept it.
And I accept it.
You have to say, and I accept it.
You know, and sometimes it's verbal. It could be nonverbal. Just our friend who's we're upset with is reaching out to hug us, and we're bristling or tensing up, and it might be that moment again to accept it, just to soften into that hug.
Well, what else have you got for us along those lines?
Yeah. So, you know, I think in addition to that, I wanted to also talk about, we've been talking about romantic relationships. We've been talking about friendships. I also wanted to talk about workplace, that more love in the workplace, which isn't something we necessarily talk about because we're not necessarily talking about romantic love, but just expressing heartfelt connection. And we find that across all industries, people who work in a culture where they feel free to express affection, tenderness, caring, and compassion were more satisfied in their work. And they felt more committed to the company, and they also felt more accountability for their performance. And I know here at WPR, you know, even just being amongst all of you today, I can see that way of expressing care and love in the workplace. And it makes it a really fun place to come and be a guest on the show. And so that's something we often don't think about. We go into our cubicle or our office, shut the door, you know, or have our do not disturb sign on and just work. But, you know, making time to connect. And there's a loneliness in the workplace that sometimes is not talked about. So learn your colleagues' love language, you know, do some actions that express their love language, and build those connections, and will make you happier and healthier at work.
Well, we have some great connections here at work, that's for sure. Wisconsin Public Radio, just as an aside, is a wonderful place to work because people are friendly and they are interested in your success, the success of their colleagues, and that makes a big difference for a lot of people, that people care here about what they their own work, but they also care about the people with which they work. So
that is great. And I always say it takes teamwork to make the dream work. And so that notion of building each other up, recognizing the value of every employee's contribution, whether you're the CEO or the janitorial staff, and just making time, whether it's a warm smile or kind note or sympathetic ear, you know, day after day, month after month. We spend so much time in the workplace to create that kind of culture. You know, everyone thrives then.
You know, who always greets me with a big smile is Jennifer Dargan. She's the greatest smile in the world. And she has a wonderful smile, and she's back with us in the studio here to talk about our winter member drive, here to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like this one. So I hope, along with Jennifer, that you will support these programs. You provide the largest piece of funding for them. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important, isn't it, Jennifer?
It is so important, and we're getting down to the wire here on the first goal on the Larry Mueller Show of this member drive. We have 5 more minutes, and we are looking for 18 more people to become a member or make a donation. You don't have to do all 18 of those. Just one.
Just
if you
one.
Just take care of one of them, we'll get 17 other folks to take care of the rest of them. These early goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding that we need for all the programs that you enjoy. So please help us out right now. We could really use your help. If you're loving listening to this great program, this great advice that we're getting here on relationships across your personal relationships, your love relationships, your work relationships, make your donation now in support of this great conversation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, we've got Victoria from Madison writing about this particular program, saying we're so lucky to have some homegrown programming that really serves us as residents of Wisconsin. I always learn something new. Talk about making me feel good. And I hope it's something that you've thought about, too, in your own listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. We are listener-supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour, you make all the hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Mm-hmm. And you might decide the gift that works for you will get you that brand new, cozy, and stylish WPR hat. It's a knit hat that's USA made right here in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, it is. Yep. Support the programs that you value, and you can show off your WPR pride wherever you go. In the wintertime, probably wouldn't do that in the summertime as much. Starts with your gift right now, though. $20 or more gets you that hat, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And just in case you didn't hear that, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan. Jennifer, still got some time.
Now is the time to give. We've only got a minute left. Give now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to contribute, and you can count towards this goal that we're trying to get of 18 more folks by noon.
Lindsay from Madison said this program is her go-to program for practical new ideas. It's especially as we move closer to the gardening season. Well, the gardening season is kind of the love season in a lot of ways because we all love that. But I hope you enjoy the program from 11 to 12:30 every day. And it's a great way to let us know with a vote right now, with a contribution. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. If you've contributed already, thank you so, so much. If you haven't, please do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love.
Larry Mueller here. You know, as you're listening to this program, I wish you could see in the studio because the engineers and all the on-air folks are all bobbing their heads and moving right along and getting into that song about love. And that's what we're talking about now, loving relationships and how to improve them. Shyla Mergain, our guest, back with us. She's a distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at UW-Madison, in the School of Medicine and Public Health. She's done a lot of speaking. She writes. She's a facilitator. She's a therapist. So a lot of background in many areas. But she knows a lot and has written about the language of love. There's a language of love quiz. We talked about it earlier. Did you take it while we were talking? If you want to take that language of love quiz, and if you want your partner or maybe somebody else to take it too, just go to WPR.org/Larry, and it's right there on our screen. So you can take that language of love quiz. And if you've taken it, did it help you? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org, or just if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience, to share. I've been remiss in not giving that number. So I'm doing it right now, so join in. Shiloh, there's a lot of, you know, we're talking about love. How does it apply? Is it more? Is it more like with a stranger if you're dealing with somebody? What about relationships with people that, all right, that maybe you don't know or don't know that well?
That's a great question. And again, we're hardwired for connection and love. But we find with our technology, it can keep us more isolated. A recent study found that phones can keep us from engaging brief smiles with people we meet in public places. And those can be missed opportunities to boost our happiness by just connecting with people around us. We know we have greater well-being when we feel that social connection, when we feel that sense of oneness with others. And there was some interesting research where participants were asked to grab a beverage at a busy coffee shop, and half would just go in, buy the coffee, and get out. The other half would just strike up a conversation with the cashier. And those who engaged in just a quick social interaction would leave the coffee shop in a better mood, and they even felt a greater sense of belonging in our community. And we know that when we feel belonging, we care for things. And we care for our community, and we're more likely to pick up litter, we're more likely to volunteer, we're more likely to help somebody in need. So those small daily interactions with strangers, they're often missed opportunity if we, for example, are walking into the elevator and we're on our phone. Or we're sitting on the public bus, you know, listening to a podcast. Instead, think about, you know, can I reach out? And even just doing a simple smile can boost our mood versus just ignoring the person, that stranger that we're interacting with. Or it could just be a simple acknowledgement like, hi, or have a great day. Again, that just brief exchange helps us feel more temporarily, more socially connected. And what benefits we do when we take that time to just really connect with people around us.
You know, I do that a lot. I do it in weird places. I'll do it in the elevator pretty much every day. I'm on there with somebody, and we're on the seventh floor, so we're going down a long way or we're going up a long way. And I always like to do it because, you know what? People always respond in a very positive kind of way. And it makes me feel better, for sure. So I don't know, maybe I'm being selfish, but it makes me feel better. I usually think it makes the other person, I mean, they don't look at me like I'm some, what are you bringing something up? I guess in some ways it's like what you talk about, choose to talk about, or how you bring something up.
You probably are making people's day engaging in that social banter because they're so excited to have talked with Larry Mueller on the elevator ride. I'm sure they're going home and telling their family about it. But, you know, that temporary boost in mood for yourself, but you might, you know, make somebody's day. And really, life is made up of an accumulation of small experiences. So those brief chit-chats, you know, allow us to make those experiences more positive.
Well, they really are a lot of fun. And you know, you mentioned phones, and I'll tell you another little story. I'm walking over to the radio station today, and in front of me, there's a guy walking, and he's looking at his phone, and he walks across the street looking at his phone the whole time, and I'm seeing this big puddle right next to the curb, and he walks right into it with his tennis shoes. And then suddenly realizes what he's done. And I thought, how could you be that engaged with that phone that you are not even aware of even the immediate surroundings?
Yeah, it definitely can happen. And we find, you know, people who are more introverted might feel a little anxious making eye contact with others. But, you know, again, instead of ignoring, even just a small half smile can get you outside of yourself, connected, and you can experience that boost of mood and hopefully not run into something that you don't want to run into.
He has wet feet. He's still thinking about that, I'm pretty sure. Well, would you call that an act of kindness to bring some, you know, to do, you know, these little conversations or whatever? Well, how would you define an act of kindness?
Yeah, just spreading a little more love in the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And we can do that both verbally. But I also wanted to talk about just a simple meditation practice that has been shown to cultivate greater well-being, a simple loving kindness practice that just taking 5 minutes just to Maybe center yourself with some of that slower, lower breathing. And then just to have a heartfelt wish, extend a wish for first yourself, your own peace, happiness, joy, and freedom from suffering. And then think about somebody who lights up your life, somebody you love unconditionally and that you want them to be well. And then extending that same wish for their peace, happiness, joy, and freedom from suffering. Then you might even bring to mind somebody you're neutral about, somebody you encounter but you don't know very well. And then again, just hold that wish, sending that wish for their peace, happiness, joy, and freedom from suffering. And then, this one can be difficult, you might think about sending that wish for somebody you're having conflict with or you dislike or you have some discomfort.
Yeah.
And again, sending them the wish for their peace, happiness, joy, and freedom from suffering. And research shows, there was research out of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, and they found that people who did 6 weeks of this loving kindness practice reported increased positive emotions, more social connectedness. And they even found that there was a kind of an indication that there was a decline in aging. This group had a least decline in telomere length, and telomeres are at the end of our chromosomes, like the plastic tips of shoelaces, and they tend to shrink as we age. Age and chronic stress causes them to wear down. This meditation practice actually had less decline in that telomere length. So we're going down to even our, you know, genetic DNA here.
Now, when we're talking about medicating, do we have to sit on the floor with our legs crossed, or what do we have to do here? How can we do it?
Yes, you don't have to get into that yoga pose, which can be sometimes difficult to get out of if you're not that flexible.
Or get into.
Yep. No, you can do it any time. You can do it at bedtime. My mother actually does this every morning, and she does it when she first wakes up with her cup of coffee. I even like doing more active practices just when you're walking down the street. Maybe you see a stranger and you offer them that wish for their own well-being, for their peace, love, joy, freedom from suffering. And I have my athletes actually utilize it during a portion, like if they're doing a long-distance runner, they might do it at mile 12 as a way of dedicating each mile to a person in that way, that loving kindness. And we know that kind of generosity is one of the best things we can do for our own well-being.
How do the athletes respond to that?
Often it's a great way to focus their mind instead on the pain, you know, and how far they have to go. And they actually feel like, you know, I'm running for something. I'm doing this for something larger than myself. And it often can give them courage and greater endurance and strength to keep going.
You know, James, one of our graduate students, brought up this the business of giving versus receiving love. Thoughts on that?
That is such a great kind of a framework and thing to just really explore. And I was talking to Jennifer on the break, and she said it's not so much with love languages, doing to others what you would want to have done to you, but instead do unto others what they would want most. So, you know, you want to give to people in a way that they will best receive. So learning others' love languages, what lights them up, what helps them feel loved and appreciated, and specifically do that. If somebody loves gifts, buy them a gift. If somebody wants their trash taken out, take out the trash. If somebody needs a hug, you know, give the hug. If somebody needs a compliment or a thank you note, do it that way. Or if somebody just wants your undivided attention, that quality time, you know, carve out that time in the schedule. And also, sometimes we're really good at giving, but we're not so good at receiving. And so it can be, you know, when somebody is giving to you, really soak it in. Often just taking a few breaths. And just savoring that. Savoring's really a skill, just to linger with that positive emotion, what they offered for 10 to 20 seconds, or even 10 to 15 seconds. When we linger with something positive, it more likely embeds in our memory in a more visceral way with multidimensional qualities. Mm-hmm. If we linger with the positive things for 10 to 12 seconds and then reinforce the person, say, that's my love language. That was great. I really appreciated the thank you. I really appreciated you shoveling my sidewalk. I really appreciated that hug. Like, that meant so much to me, because we have to educate people on, you know, how to best love us.
You know, we should take a call here. I'm taking a call. So, again, you could join in at 800-642-1234. And Dennis in Two Rivers has just joined us. So let's go to Dennis. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. When I'm walking along and I say hi to people, sometimes if they respond or react at all, it's kind of like a look that I interpret as, you've got to be kidding. And I don't know, I think I've heard a while ago that sometimes muggers will think responding to a greeting is a way of showing vulnerability. So I think that might be why some people just don't react or respond.
No. Interesting, Dennis. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, that sometimes can be the case, especially if it's at night or if it's kind of an isolated neighborhood. But don't be discouraged, Dennis. I love that you're out there saying hi to people. We need more people out there in the world. And again, that generosity, you know, anything we can do to help others. And again, just listeners, you know, it's a great way to show generosity and create more love in the world is just by donating, making their donation to WPR. And during this pledge drive, it'll, you know, help WPR, but also make you feel good too, that you've shared your love in that way.
It'll put a smile on your face. And Dennis, you know what I do? Sometimes I'll say hi if I know the person, but I walk up the street with a big smile on my face and I can get pretty much anybody to smile back. If you look somebody in the eye and smile, even if you don't say anything, they're going the other direction, they put a smile on their face. And I always like to think that that's helped me make at least a minute of their day.
Oh, that's great. And Larry, you have a great smile that's contagious. I think you've made all of us here smile today.
Well, you've certainly made me smile, Shyla, as always. Thank you so much.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Larry.
By the way, Shyla Merganian, just to mention again, she's with the University of Wisconsin. She comes by every so often. She's a distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at UW-Madison, of course, residing in the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Always great to have her come by and talk. We talk about a variety of things. I've got a big smile on my face right now because Jennifer Dargan is back with us once again, too. She's got a smile. See, I made her smile just because I smiled right at her. It's our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive for winter. You rely on the Ideas Network for information, interesting discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going.
And listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that's why your gift of any amount right now makes such an important difference. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already renewed or making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, a big thank you. I know as you renew, listeners who renew are their monthly sustainers, and they are a backbone of WPR. We have lots of them. We can always use more, though, Jennifer.
We can. We can always use more. If you haven't given yet, please join the thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might not know that high schools and colleges use WPR programs as part of their curriculum. And, you know, I think it's because educators recognize that students can learn a lot about things like current events, great books, history, so much more, just from listening to these talks on the Ideas Network.
We just heard from a teacher that wanted to transcribe one of our shows so one of our students could access it a little bit more. So it really happens quite a lot. Your gift makes WPR an educational resource that's available throughout the state and beyond. And you have a powerful, lasting influence when you support these programs with a gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I think we do have an exciting drawing for a $500 travel agency gift card. And you're going to have five chances to win. You don't have to contribute. You can see all the details, at WPR.org/drawing. But you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You're going to want to get in on that drawing. That's really neat. You know, WPR and NPR have a reputation for quality and for substance, and your contributions in the past have gotten us to where we are today. And your gift today will take this strength into the future.
Your dollars give WPR the means to keep that quality and substance you count on in our programs every day. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you haven't given to WPR before because you think maybe you can't give enough to make a difference, think again, really. I urge you to. It's gifts from thousands of people that are all combined together that make WPR programs possible.
Many first-time donors give $10 a month. Maybe some give $20 a month for their WPR listening. But the good deal is you get to decide the amount that works for you and then join this team effort with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
Nice, Mom and daughter from Whitewater, Wisconsin. Thank you very much for those comments. They're wonderful. What about you? Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support, we keep saying it, is the biggest source of funding for the programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this drive is so important. And maybe your gifts to $10 a month. We have folks who contribute $100 a month, some even more. Mm-hmm. So whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing you can do with the next couple minutes of your time. It's really easy. We'll get you in and out really fast. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
So, and it's easy, pretty much easy to do. Just go to WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552.
And as a donor, you get to decide how much to give. And that's a really nice thing about it. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on going out for dinner or maybe doing things with friends. And, of course, those things are important. They all help make our lives better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is you decide the amount that's right for you, and then make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This is an invitation to join your friends and your neighbors who believe in the value of WPR and believe in supporting it. And it takes the support of more than 50,000 members to make Wisconsin Public Radio as good as it is.
When you make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you'll be doing what a lot of people hope to do as well. And you'll be doing your part to make sure that the news and information you need is here every single day.
It works on the honor system. You don't really have to pay for it. That's our little secret. You don't have to become a member. But when you do choose to support it, you make all of the programs on WPR that you enjoy possible, and it's a great, great feeling. So how about a gift right now of, say, $10 a month?
What about $20 a month?
Could be $20. You know, you decide the amount. It is completely up to you. And then you go to WPR.org or
888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I love some of the messages, excuse me, that we've gotten from people who have contributed. This is somebody's favorite program. They're lucky to have these homegrown programs.
It's a lot of people's favorite programs.
Yeah, they serve a lot of residents of the state. I hear I am losing my voice even while I'm trying to tell people to contribute.
Yeah, you're making it happen, though. And you can make it happen. You make WPR happen when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let me say that again. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. In just a minute or less than a minute, we are going to have to go away. But I do want to say we've talked about the language of love today. I've loved being a part of Wisconsin Public Radio for so many years. I hope that you love and at least enjoy listening to WPR, here's your chance to put a vote in for the programming. Just go to WPR.org and make a contribution, or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, please do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.